I'm Chris.
And I'm Kylie. And this is Redefining Resilience,
where we explore what it means to build a resilient lifestyle
so you can thrive in any and every situation. Welcome back.
Welcome. It's been a long time.
So today we're going to talk about your competition.
Yahoo.
You competed last weekend.
I did.
In your first pro show.
Yes. Thanks to you, my first pro show.
Yeah. Tell them how this all unfolded.
Essentially, I was too lazy to sign up in time for this contest in Marion, Illinois. And because you believe in me so much, you called the people that were putting it on and said, yeah, he's real strong. He'll do the pro show.
They were accepting participants for the pro show. And I was like, well, yeah, that's what he wants anyway. So that's perfect. Sign him up.
Yes. So let's just do a little for those who don't know.
Yeah. Give us some background.
How those classes are separated. You have novice, which doesn't win anything. And those are divided into certain weight classes. Then you have open, which can win spots to nationals and to the ability to compete as a pro. And then you have pro classes, which are only two weight classes, 220 pounds and below and 220 pounds and above. So let's just say there aren't any 221 pounders in that class. Everybody's like 400 fucking pounds. Like multiple guys were 380, 390.
And Chris is 175.
That's an insult. Yes. So what, it was cool.
He's actually 275.
Well, it was cool because I thought, great, this is the opportunity. I can get to 300 pounds. This will be awesome. I started eating like crazy, training like crazy. I had no access to the actual events that were going to be put on. So I just did what
Meaning
I thought I could do.
You couldn't train the actual event that you were going to be competing in, right?
Yes. Yeah, so
you didn't have the equipment.
So strongman is all based on specific implements. And if you don't have the implement to train on it, since you love that word so much.
Let's just sidebar real quick. An implement is like an apparatus.
It is.
It's a piece of equipment, and it's usually made of metal and very shakily pieced together.
It's not necessarily shakily put together, but it is built in somebody's garage, usually. So strongman used to be called odd implement lifting.
They love that implement word. So if you're using this episode as a drinking game, every time Chris says implement, go ahead and take a drink.
By the way, we don't condone drinking, nor are we going to say that it's a good idea. So
also, we don't drink ourselves. So yes. Drink your coffee.
Yeah, there you go. So I got signed up for this pro 220 and up class. The guys I compete against, we all go through a website called Iron Podium. And you can see who's registered in your class. Well, there's 15 guys, 16 guys registered in this class, and they're all monsters. Like, monsters. And I thought this, I was a little scared at first because I had taken like an 8-year hiatus off of competing. And I competed in Doug Madewell's events out in Ohio in 2023 or 22 in October.
You got third place in Ohio's Strongest Man.
Yep. In the 275 and below open class. Mm-hmm. So I qualified for nationals. We went down to Dallas and competed in nationals. Got 26th. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. So I didn't compete for 8 years. Then I go and get third in Ohio's Strongest Man and
you
competed
made it in
nationals.
Yeah, and you made it in the top third.
Yeah, pretty cool. 78 guys.
Yeah, so.
So pretty neat. Nowhere do I think I'm pro level yet. Like, I still think I might be a year or two off.
I beg to differ.
Well, I'm signed up for this event, and I text my coach, and he's like, shit, man, that's like rocking and rolling, man.
No joke.
Yeah. So he's like, we got to get you prepared. And then I set him my training program, and I let him understand I don't have access to the actual implements. And he's like, this, all we can do is train your strength and hope for the best. So that's what we did. I was super frustrated the day of the event.
Tell us why.
I don't know how fast we want to go into this story, but
Well, so we spend some time talking about Chris's weight, and he refused to step on the scale like the 3 weeks leading up to the competition. So he had no pulse check on what his weight was. And he also got sick like 2 weeks before the competition and was having to like muscle down food just to like keep his system.
So basically for 3 days I was doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't train pretty much that whole week. So I took a week off of training, 2 weeks out, spent 3 days not eating, 2 weeks out. And the problem is I set a bar for myself and an expectation. And when I don't reach it, I am very angry at myself. So we go into this competition the day before for weigh-ins.
He was pumped, real excited.
Yeah, super jazzed, ready to get there. See two of my buddies when I pull up. And they're both like, bro, you're looking huge. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to compete at 300 and something pounds. And I go in and I get my heights for all the implements. And just for shits and giggles, I weighed in.
You didn't have to weigh in, mind you.
Because it's 220 and up. Obviously, I don't weigh 220 pounds. Yeah, so
he clearly was over 220, so they didn't even ask him to weigh.
And then I step on this fucking scale.
Out of his own choice.
And it's 275 pounds. And
274, actually.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I spent the last 3 months plus pounding food, training hard, doing everything I think I need to do. A decent recovery schedule, really paying attention to how I'm, you know, getting things done. And I weighed like, I don't know, 8 pounds more than I did when I started the whole thing. And I'm like, this is horseshit. So I was so overloaded with emotion that I couldn't contain it. Like, I was furious.
Very angry.
I could feel the heat coming out of my collar of my shirt. I downsized the shirt I picked when I left from a 3X to a 2X because I'm like, clearly I'm a total bitch and I don't even fit in a 3X anymore. I'm just, why am I even here? You know?
Might as well give up.
Yeah. So a lot of emotion. We make it back to the hotel and I'm like, I got to process this, man. I got to get through it because at the end of the day, I'm competing tomorrow and I sure as shit am not getting whooped. You know? I will not come in last.
Yeah.
You know? So we go out to eat with Kylie's parents. Fantastic time. Her dad is probably one of the funniest guys I've ever met. We go back to the hotel.
I think you kind of had accepted.
Yeah, I just kind of laid. I laid there in bed, couldn't sleep a whole lot. And I kept thinking, all right, if this is going to happen tomorrow, I cannot, under any circumstances, go into there tomorrow doubting myself. Because I'll lose everything. I will not be able to do this at the peak of my capability. So I watched a couple videos on my phone. I like my training videos. I watched my old competition videos. I did like visualization training. Like, what is it going to feel like when I hold on to this weight? What am I going to do when all these things happen? What is it going to feel like standing next to these competitors? What is it going to smell like in there? What is it going to feel like being in there? Like, I know what to do, and I just need to lean as hard as I can into that. So, but it was extremely frustrating. Frustrating is a light word for it. Yeah. Like, I was really mad at myself because I had the expectation that I was going to go do this at a certain weight, and I was scared that I wasn't going to be able to perform at the level I wanted to. Strongman's a lot based on weight because you have to carry so much. So carrying the implements, you have to basically have a power belly because you got to set it on top of your belly. And mass moves mass. So I'm not super tall. I'm 6'1". So at 6'1 and 275, I was not the shortest, but I was definitely the tiniest out of all of them. There were some monsters in there. Three of the guys I talked to in the back were 405 to 410, and they were all 6'5 plus. They were very tall individuals. So I felt like my littlest daughter talking to these guys. Like, they were just mountains. So the day of, I went in. It was a Big Mike, a good friend of mine, and his buddy Aaron, it's also a good buddy of mine, were there. We were all pumped about it, excited. We sat right in front of a guy. What was his name?
Luke.
Luke, yeah, a cop from around that area.
Yeah, from Evansville.
Yeah, super cool dude. First event was Viking press, 300 pounds. Most I had ever Viking pressed was 280 for 15 at the Ohio event 2 years prior. And after that, I'd never touched one. The same implement was, or it was built by the same guy that built the first one. So I kind of knew what I was getting into. But man, it was super heavy. Like it was a total, it was a lot right mm-hmm. at the beginning. Just, we're here to play a really heavy, a very advanced game. So it was cool because I had to dig pretty deep. And I was extremely lucky because my judge was one of my favorite strongmen to watch, Evan T-Rex. Super cool dude. Chatted up a little bit with the guy. He's a neat dude. But to have him counting my reps and being my judge was awesome because I felt like I earned the right to be there, you know?
And let's rewind to last year. We went to the Arnold Classic in Columbus, Ohio, and Evan T-Rex was there because he's a sponsored athlete representing one of the brands that supplies equipment in yeah. the weightlifting world. And he was there. You could take photos with him, and you met him.
Yeah.
So what did you say to him when you met him?
I'm going to compete with you. 100%.
So fast forward back to this competition. I thought it was super cool that he was your judge because you told him you'd be competing with him. Yeah. You are one step closer to competing with him. He's competing, like you competed with him there, but he was not your opponent. He was your judge. So you're one step closer to making that statement true.
Yeah. Which was, that was pretty cool.
It was really cool. I thought it was cool.
Yeah. And I got to like learn from him and talk to him a little bit and, yeah, it was definitely humbling, too. He's a huge individual.
He is quite large. He's probably, like, 6'5"?
Yeah, he's just built for the sport.
Yeah.
He's just a behemoth.
Yeah.
Very massive. So went through Viking press, got 11 reps. Felt really good about it. Felt really in control. Body felt really good. And then I got to watch guys that I was initially intimidated by, got eaten alive by that thing, getting 4 or 5 reps. One guy got 19. He was an absolute monster.
I think he was the one who won overall.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just an exceptional athlete.
He also got second place at Nationals the year before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this guy is no joke.
Well, that's the difference between the class I was in at Nationals and his class he was in at Nationals. Like the weight groups are
He was also in the weight class higher up than you.
Yeah. So it'd be 275 and above.
Yeah.
So, but then we went to the second event, which is a Conan's Wheel. If you don't know what that is, it's actually based on the movie Conan the Barbarian, where he pushes this giant mill around, and supposedly that's how he becomes this huge Arnold Schwarzenegger character. You pick up this apparatus on your forearms.
An implement, you mean?
Yeah, an implement. You pick it up with your forearms, and you just walk around in a circle. I think mine was 675. And there were so many people there trying to figure out how to warm up on it. And this is notorious for strongman events. You get there and they'll say there'll be like a back room to warm up. It's like 2 bars and 225 pounds, just maybe hanging out somewhere. So there's no warm up. I made it just over halfway around and passed out. So
you got about 2/3 of the way and then you collapsed.
Yeah, I knew it was coming. I just felt like everything in my system was saying this was a bad idea from the start, and going from not touching any weight to attempting to walk around with 675 on your chest, it was too much.
Yeah. So, but you did decently well. You stayed in the middle of the pack in that event.
Because
a lot of people couldn't even take a step, or they took a step or 2 steps, and that was it. That was the most they could do.
Yeah. Third event was deadlifts, right?
Yeah. Sounds right, yeah.
And it was 645. I got 4 on that one, which I was super pumped about. No pain in the lower back, no issues. I think I was 4th place at the end of that one. And I remember coming back and sitting down, and you're like, you know you're 4th place right now? I'm like, what? I'm fourth place out of all these monsters. Like, yeah. I have just that right there solidified the fact I deserve to be there.
Yeah.
Right? This is not, it's not a joke anymore. Like, I'm actually good at this, you know?
Yeah, it's super cool.
Yeah.
Why do you think you're getting so emotional right now?
Well, probably because I have three daughters. I don't know how to get emotional about everything. So when I first started this game, I was it 2015? I was 180 pounds, and I'd never worked out really hard in my life. I enjoyed the gym, but I never did anything with any kind of like training program or like purpose. I just wanted to be the biggest person I could be. And the one thing I figured out with anything in life, if you don't have a goal, you're going to get wherever you're shooting really fast, mm-hmm. which is nowhere.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of years getting nowhere. And I spent a lot of years being told the dream was stupid, that I wasn't going to make it, that it wasn't worth my time, that I was wasting other people's time. And that it was just a stupid hobby that was just going to get me hurt and wasn't going to do anything for anybody. And I fell in love with it. I don't know why I like it so much, but I mean, you can tell them. When I leave these competitions, my face hurts because I'm smiling the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely love strongman.
You're like a kid on a playground.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to be strong, right? Yeah. And do heavy things, right? And move heavy weight. But to see, like, I mean, it's been, 12 years, right?
Yeah.
12 years later of not giving up and just continuously pushing, I deserve to be there.
Yeah, that's huge.
That's probably why that's emotional, without even really processing it. Because I was laughing about this conversation in the shower earlier, thinking this is going to be funny just talking about weightlifting stuff, but
you didn't know you'd be this dramatic.
I'm pretty dramatic all the time. So anyways, we go through this competition. The yoke carry was next, and I'm pretty slow with those. So it dropped me down to eighth. And then the last one was a sandbag over bar. You throw it 35 pound sandbag over a 15 foot tall bar as many times as you can in 30 seconds or 60 seconds.
And did well on that one.
Yeah, that was fun. So I played in the Highland Games a couple times, so I know how to do that. I got 11, and it bumped me up a place. Mm-hmm. So
you finished 7th overall.
Yeah, 7th overall. So 7 out of 15 for first pro show, third event in 8 years.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because I look at all of this as it's more than just throwing weight around, right? It's proving that if you stick to something, you can do something with it. And that it's okay to do things that you love. Proves to the people that don't think they have much in their life that something like this is possible, right?
Yeah.
It sounds super deep, but it's real, right? I work with a guy who has watched what I do, and it has helped him push himself. So I tell people all the time, people are watching you constantly. Like, what you're doing isn't just
a stupid hobby.
It's not just a stupid hobby. It's not just going and throwing weight around. You're proving that you can be passionate about something and actually do something with it. And your ability to stick through the hard times proves to people that sticking through hard times is possible. Mm-hmm. And that it's not just some random one-off person that's going to make it. I don't know how many times I was told, probably 100 times when I first started training for strongman, that I was too short for strongman. My legs are too short. My torso is too long. Like, anything that could be an issue was an issue. My buddy just made a joke the other day that my hands are too small, you know, and every one of those guys isn't competing at the level that I'm competing at. But it took years and years and years of just saying, listen, this is what I want to do, and doing it.
Over a decade of consistency.
Yeah. Just to start playing the game at that level, right?
Yeah.
So I think being able to show why it makes it emotional is it shows that you have a responsibility to prove to those around you and those that you love that things that might seem wildly unavailable to you are actually achievable. Mm-hmm. We don't get a lot of that anymore, you know? I talk to a lot of guys who are constantly beaten down that are told they can't achieve because it's stupid or it doesn't match the narrative of the people that they're with or their spouses or whatever. I mean, I was married to a woman that thought this was the dumbest thing ever and it was never going to help anybody or do anything and that I was just causing problems. And not only that, I've helped more men through hard times by me just going to the gym consistently and proving that you can change your life and your relationships through physical stress that I could have ever reached doing anything else.
Yeah. So I have a question for you. Is seventh place a victory or a failure?
Oh, that's a huge victory. That's a massive victory. Jordan Peterson said you got to pick the biggest dragon you can and fight it, right? I thought that was kind of silly when I first heard it. I thought, you know, realistically, I'm just going to pick a slightly larger dragon and work my way up, you know. But this dragon was huge. It was.
I'm pretty sure that's what I told you when I signed you up for this. It's like, yeah. Hey, biggest dragon, let's go.
Yeah. And there's a lot of self-doubt and there's a lot of like fear that goes into that. And you start replaying all those silly little talk tracks that you were told that you had to believe because they were so consistent. And then you end up getting there, proving that you deserve a spot there and leaving with seventh place in a professional strongman show. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's massive, you know?
So when's the next one?
Well, what did I do? Leave and then 2 days later sign up for one 30 days from then?
I think you signed up for it the day after.
Yeah, that's right, because I couldn't sleep.
It might have even been the day we got back. I don't even know. It was almost immediately you're like, all right, I got to compete again because you have to qualify for nationals. That's the next. You have to place at nationals. That's the next big benchmark because you get your pro card once you place at nationals. So the next step is to qualify for nationals, get you there, and then get that pro card.
Yeah. So it's interesting because it's like, yes, that's a victory, but I could have got first place. And I don't foresee any acceptable reason in stopping ever. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to think about a reason. I mean, other than, hey, man, if you touch another weight, you're going to die for whatever crazy reason that would be. Yeah.
You don't need to.
Well, I also feel this overpowering sense of responsibility to prove to people that you can choose to do something. And because it's hard, it makes it great. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's not hard, it's not great. That's not life.
If there's no risk, there's no reward.
I mean, I see people all the time that are like, I can do this, so I'm going to stick in my realm and my niche. I just, like Matthew McConaughey says, I just don't think that's living, man. It's just not. You gotta press it. You gotta find out what's out there, what you're capable of. Because people need you to do it so they see it's possible.
Yeah.
So they'll try. There's a lot of really timid people out there because they get beaten down really hard. And there's a lot of angry people beating people down. And it's really sad because I think most of it comes from just basic insecurities. We just feel bad about ourselves. So anybody that's trying or achieving or wanting more shines a light on those insecurities. Mm-hmm. So in order to keep those hidden, we become very cruel. We want to keep those people down. And I think, as silly as it sounds, what we're doing here is kind of silencing the haters, you know?
Yeah.
I want to be so loud with victory and so loud with the process and so loud with the unrelenting pursuit of greatness that you just can't stop it, you know?
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I think is so cool about this sport in general is that everybody is there to cheer you on. Everybody wants to see every competitor succeed.
Yeah.
You know, you made friends with Luke day of the competition. You guys hit it off and became buds. And, you know, I'm filming his performance and sending it to his girlfriend. And, like, that was the first time I met that guy. And everybody there is just so encouraging and so supportive, and everybody wants everyone to succeed. No one wants to see anyone get injured. No one wants to see someone biff a lift and, you know, completely fail. Everybody is there to cheer each other on. And I think when we think about what it means to be successful, you can't be successful on your own. You have to be successful with a strong team supporting you.
Well, it's the only way you'll push past, right?
Yeah. And
it's interesting, too. A guy asked me if it's worth the injuries, because I've been hobbling around pretty hard since then. I think I had to ice my knees for like 4 hours after.
Still been icing for about a week.
Yeah, just it was pretty rough. Yeah. But I said, of course it is. The injury is definitely worth it, man. I mean, the injury is just a representation of the edge. You know, what a sad, sad existence for a man to walk through life and not know what their body's capable of. Just to what? To avoid injury? You can injure yourself walking down the fucking stairs.
Yeah.
So
you can injure yourself sitting on the couch watching TV every night because you're not moving your body.
Exactly.
So
at what point in time does the pursuit of something fun and great overpower or get overpowered by the caution of a potential injury? Like, yeah. That's just sad.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably why it's a little emotional for me, or a lot of emotional for me, as I see it just as a representation of what I wanted to have in my life as a kid, as a young man, as a man now, somebody to show me what it looks like to have the tenacity to dig deep, to just keep pushing no matter what people say, to have a goal and literally tack that thing on your wall and make it, you know? Yeah.
How did composure come into play? We're on the composure domain, right? So how did the skills you've learned and developed with this resilience training come into play throughout the process?
There's a lot of reality testing. So composure, I find myself getting spun out of control sometimes, especially if I'm passionate about something. And then I take a step back, start breathing. In and out. The box breathing, 4 seconds in, hold 4 seconds, out 4 seconds, hold 4 seconds. And then I try to do the 30,000 foot view of where I am and what I'm doing. You know, it is very intimidating to stand in a line of guys that are all larger and taller and knowing that you're going to be the next guy up for everybody at that entire venue to watch lift the same weight, right? It's either intimidating or exciting. And if I'm intimidated, my lifts will suffer. Mm-hmm. But because I've spent so much time in the gym and because I've experienced failure at such a high volume in the gym, which is good. And that's the only way you know how to train correctly is experiencing failure. I am very comfortable with my capabilities. So I leveraged the lessons in the composure domain by saying, this is the reality that I'm in. This is what I'm asking my body to do. This is what I know my body's capable of. Now let's have a good time. You know, whatever happens, happens. I can't control these other variables. I can't control whether or not I have a micro tear in my bicep and it decides to give way. I can't control the slick floor if there's a spill and nobody sees it. I can't control those things. But what I can control is my attitude towards the lift and my gratitude for being there. If I'm grateful and humble going into that, if I respect, you make fun of this all the time, but pay homage to the weight, I have a good time.
Okay, and so for the people listening who, let's say, are not passionate about the gym or weightlifting, but are passionate about their career and their work, how does this translate to the business world?
Just understand people are watching you, no matter what you're doing, how you're doing it, what you're doing with it. People are watching you for guidance. people want to understand, especially if you are successful, the things they can emulate and the things they don't want to pay attention to or don't want to repeat. They're watching for your failures so they can learn. Some are watching to chastise you, but that's usually a very small amount of people. Just understand you're a representation of the path forward. So you can be passionate about work and be excited about it and be driven, but be humble because you're a leader. Be humble in the fact that you're writing a roadmap for hundreds of people behind you. You know, no matter what you do, you're creating a roadmap because people are going to follow you. Because the next question to somebody that's successful is, how the hell did you get there? Mm-hmm. And whatever you say and whatever you do is going to be documented, and people are going to try to follow that. And if you're honest and humble and pay homage to the road that you just built, it's going to be a lot easier for you to help other people and create more wealth and happiness for them. That, and I just think taking that 30,000 foot view, don't get tied up into the little tiny things. Don't get bogged down with the nonsense of like, I got to do X, Y, Z every single day and ignore the people around me and the happiness around me and the respect for the fact that I made it this far. Yeah.
It's good. Anything else that you think is important to share about your competition or how you felt before, during, after that we haven't already talked about?
I just think it's vital that you challenge yourself. I think this life is worth being experienced through physical challenge. And I don't care who you are or what is going on in your life, you need it. And I think that it is sad to think that there are people out there that haven't experienced the joy of success and the failure and defeat. Both of those are equally as glorious because you're in the arena.
Thanks for listening to Redefining Resilience.
To learn more about building your mental and physical readiness, check out odysseyresilience.org.
And follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok.